Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
It's Chuck and Jerna. It's Chuck and Jerna.
It's 3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt Lennon and the King. Yeah.
It's Chuck and Jerna. It's Chuck and Jerna on the Fan.
Driving home, Atlanta is a traffic jam. Chuck and
Chernoff
on the Fan.
It's Chuck and Chernoff. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
All right, we get it cranked up in our 3 o'clock hour with Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Our 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by This Stuff Matters. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast. It's posted at 680 The Fan's website right under the podcast header or at This Stuff Matters. Now, why don't we start the festivities by saying hello to Charles Oliver?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chuck.
Guess what?
Bye.
I'm getting a tattoo.
Where?
Just to the left of my nipple.
What are you getting?
Home of the Whopper.
Okay.
Ain't gonna look good.
I think it'll look great on you.
I don't want to clash with the swastika on my forehead.
I understand that. It's a conversation starter, though.
Swastika and a cheeseburger.
To each their own, I guess.
I don't know.
Don't know that you'd get another job.
People I work with.
But, yeah. Let's start with some baseball as the Braves hosted the Tigers today.
It's in North Point.
No, actually, they're on the road. They're in Lakeland. Today's story was about Michael Soroka. Michael Soroka made his...
Soroka?
Made his first start of the spring. He ended up going an inning and a third, gave up 3 hits, a couple of runs, one was earned, he struck out one, gave up 2 wild pitches, but I will tell you after watching it, his performance was a lot better than the line, and here's what I mean. So the first batter of the game, he gives up a ground ball right at A.J. Adrianza, who was playing second, boom, right through his legs. So now you got a runner first. He's got Joe Hudson behind the plate catching. I will not tell you either pitch that was a wild pitch was a great pitch. I'm going to guess Sean Murphy stops one of them, okay, at least. So that didn't help him. He gives up the run in the first, but I will tell you what, I'll tell you what I loved. He hit 95 and 96 on the gun. He hopped off the mound to make a play that was eerily similar to when he blew out the Achilles. He looked great doing that, made the throw to first, and that was awesome. Came back for the second inning, got in some trouble. They took him out because apparently he reached whatever pitch limit. I don't have the number in front of me that he had in the game. But I thought all in all, he looked really good. Now the question is, how does he feel after this? How does he feel tomorrow? And will he be ready to make a start in 5 days to take another step in this process along the way? But for what it was worth, if you just see the numbers, I thought Soroka looked a lot better than the actual line would indicate this afternoon. Incidentally, the Braves lead the game 5-3 in the third inning, or in the sixth inning. Orlando Arcia just hit a home run. That's your starting shortstop. Arcia's got 2 hits, 4 RBIs. He's got a walk as well. Now, I mentioned he's your starting shortstop. Alex Anthopoulos was on with Nick and Chris today.
I would not listen.
I did.
That show was not good.
Disagree. Love that show. And it was a wonderful interview. You can hear all of it. It was deep, a deep dive. It is available at the 680 of the Fan mobile app. But wait till our show's over to go back and listen to it, because I'm going to give you some of what Alex had to say today to Nick and Chris. First of all, here is Alex talking to Chiellini Domino on why Orlando Arcia is getting the first crack at shortstop.
We love the defense at short, so we feel good about him there. The issue with Orlando has been in his career that he never really hit to the degree that everyone expected. He was the top prospect, got to the major league young. But when we acquired him, we saw some changes in his swing in 2020 that we liked. We'll see how it translates once the bell rings. And if we need to make a change, we've got 2 young kids that we're really high on. Whoever's playing the best, when an opportunity presents itself, they're going to be the guys up.
So that's the key. And we talked about it a day or two ago, even as surprising as the decision was that it wasn't going to be Grissom or Shoemake, we all treat opening day like it's a playoff roster now. And I don't know why. We have this assumption that because it's opening day, things can't change. The Braves have shown us, and we should do this over the next few days. Go back and look at opening day rosters from the Braves during their run of winning five straight divisions. It's so different from day one to forget the end of the season. Go to June 1. Go to July 1. Look at August 1. It's just not that huge of a deal. You get Orlando up here to start. He probably won't hit a ton, but it gives Grissom a chance to play the position in the minors, get more reps down there. Whenever they think he's more ready and Arcia starts to struggle, he's going to come up.
I do mind, and I say it does matter. It's normal, and all 30 teams do it, so there's not necessarily a disadvantage. But when I say what matters, I can't believe this is where we are in almost every sport. The simplest responsibility of the manager, the front office, the team, whatever, put your best players on the roster. And there have become so many nuanced reasons or just flat-out blatant reasons that teams will obviously, they'll even admit it. Yeah, we don't have our best 25 or our best 53 or our best 12. We're doing this for either finances or the future. It's always about building for something down the road.
See, I don't think that's the case either. Wait, you think they're protecting service time of these two guys?
No. I'm saying there is a reason that Orlando Arcia is not the best shortstop on his team.
Do you know that? Flesh that based on what? What have you seen from Vaughn and Braden that you know that?
Based on every report, don't act like this is some sort of huge surprise that Orlando Arcia is starting shortstop and they're both at Gwinnett.
But had Grissom started, we wouldn't have known he's the best shortstop. We don't have a base of work on Vaughn Grissom to know he's the best.
Based on everyone who's down there, everyone until this was announced said, yep, Vaughn's won the job.
So then tell me
and
why.
And then the weirdness of Braden Shumate playing.
If there's no business decision, because there's not, you'll hear Alex on that.
Yeah, sure. I don't think.
But tell me what the.
I have no idea what they're doing.
I think you're reaching on this. One. I don't think I can tell you which one has been. There's a chance Braden Shumate never cracks the bigs and does anything. There's a chance Vaughn is
but
just
this
an okay.
Whole idea about, see, sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes it's injury. That's it. When it's performance, the team doesn't have a choice. So if it's injury or performance and that's why you're monkeying around with a roster, I get it. There are so many roster moves made that don't involve injury
or performance. I agree with
that.
But this doesn't feel like one. It's what I'm telling you. There's a lot of times it's service time or some other things are at play. I can't figure it out on this one because the other two guys, two things. A, the Braves sign guys early. B, they bring guys up early. The last time they probably waited was Acuna way back in 18.
I'm not suggesting.
Well, let's go work through this. So if it's not that, you might be right, but you also have no idea if Vaughn Grissom's going to be better than Orlando Arcia.
I'm saying
Vaughn might top out at Orlando in his career.
By what the measuring stick, and I'm not Alex, okay?
Well, I know that.
So this is Bowman, this is Ben Ingram, this is D.O.B., this is J-Chad, this is Domino, this is all kinds of people, whoever. By every generally understood measuring stick about what, quote, winning the job was, not only was Vaughn Grissom doing it, but Braden Shumate was the kid that it was the mystery of, well, if Vaughn is playing this well, then why is Shumate getting so many ABs and so many opportunities? And that was a fair mystery. The answer on my list of possibilities wasn't, yeah, we're going to demote both of them.
So
I don't know what the reason is.
Okay, then Michael Harris didn't start up here day one last year. Why? They didn't think he was ready. No, but I mean, sometimes they just didn't think he was ready. He hadn't played enough. In this case, they want Vaughn to get more defensive
reps. That's one thing that A-Train mentioned. He said, we're not always right in our decisions.
Of course not.
He said, but we're always making it for the right reasons.
To them, they think it's the right reason. Well, let's hear more from Alex. Here's Anthopoulos with Nick and Chris on Grissom's defense. Was it major league ready now?
Yes, but it doesn't mean he can't get better. The plan was not for him to get called up in 2022. We felt at that time he was the best guy. But again, he had just moved out of high A. He hasn't had a ton of reps, a ton of time. Dansby Swanson was much better in 22 than he was in 2017, the first year. So Vaughn's going to continue to get reps and continue to get better.
I just don't think it's a big deal. I do not. Like, opening day is not this line of demarcation. There is a chance that April the 20th, Vaughn is up here playing short because, A, they think his defense got better with reps down there, or Orlando's not hitting, or they just think it's time for a change. There's a chance Braden's here. I just don't think it's a huge deal.
I'm not asking what you know because you don't know. I don't know. We're not down there. Do you think these two shortstops is the best combination of two shortstops the Braves could have? Do you believe that?
Talking about Arcia and Adrianza?
Yeah.
No, but that's because Adrianza. It's not because of Arcia. Like, Arcia's
okay.
Arcia to
so
me.
So they have a 25-man roster that you don't think is the best 25 they could have.
But I could also tell you, reverse it now. Ask me if Grissom and Arcia is the best. I don't know. Like, based on what?
But what do you think?
I don't know. Chuck, I haven't seen.
I started all this by saying you don't know. Tell me what you think.
What I'm going to tell you is I don't know about Grissom. I don't know about Shoemake. I've never seen Braden. I've only seen Vaughn for a month.
But you think something. You don't think much about Adrianza being on the Major League roster.
No, I think Adrianza, you can find a million of them. But what exactly. I'm telling you is...
It's okay to think that and say, I don't get why this happened.
What do you think of Vaughn as a shortstop in the majors?
Based on what I've seen and I heard Ron Washington say?
No, you don't do those two things. Based on what you've seen, what do you think of Vaughn Grissom as a shortstop in the majors?
Based on what I've seen,
you just
and
asked
then
me
I trust
what
Ron Washington's... My opinion is he's ready to play in the majors.
So why aren't they doing it?
I don't know.
There's got to be... What do you think?
I'm trying to go through the possibilities. So is it a psychological thing? Is it a motivational thing?
I is it a heart attack thing?
Shoemake,
I don't know.
And you threw that out the window. I was like, no, there's something going on here. You're like, no, there's not.
Chuck, you can't come up with it because I don't think there is. There's just not. There's nothing sinister
okay,
or like.
Then why do they have a 25-man roster that's not their best?
As Alex said, doesn't mean they're right. But they believe Orlando right now gives them a better defensive opportunity and gives Vaughn a chance to get better at AAA. I think that's as deep as this is.
All right.
I don't think there's a lot more here. Here is Alex on the response of the claims that they sent Shoemake and Grissom down to manipulate service time.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. It just doesn't make any sense. If anything, you could criticize that we're calling guys up too early, right? I mean, look, we're trying to win games. We won the division last year by one game. We are taking, in our minds, the best team. We know that we're going to have to adjust, and guys are going to emerge, guys are going to get hurt, guys are going to play better, guys aren't going to play well, and we're going to have to make changes, and that's just going to happen over the course of 6 months.
And I think that's going to be the case. Like I said, Vaughn could be here April 20th. Hell, he could be here April 4th if Orlando gets hurt. We've seen this happen a million times where guys either aren't ready, ready. It's not a huge deal, especially at that position. We're not talking about them not using a top prospect, right? Like, Vaughn is not a top. Vaughn is a middle-of-the-road prospect that they hope for decent things out of.
He said that we think we are bringing our best team north.
To start. That doesn't mean the best team in the month is not different. That matters.
Sure, but what's going to make it not the best team 30 days from right now?
What's going to make it not the best team?
Yeah, like, he thinks it's the best team now.
So
30
I guess
days
I would say
from now,
this.
He goes, oh, damn, it's not the best 25. Look, I'll make some changes. Look. Like I said, and I have not said one word about service time manipulation.
No,
I'm saying
haven't.
I'm trying to figure this out.
There's no other answers.
Adrianza's on the roster. Vaughn Grissom is better. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
But the thing is, they want Vaughn to play every day in the minors. You don't want Vaughn sitting. What's that do for him to sit behind? If let's say Arcia was the choice over Vaughn. You play Vaughn in the minors every day. You get that part of it, right? You got to get him better by playing reps down there. Him sitting does nothing for you. Same thing with Braden. Braden being up here doesn't do anything if he's not playing every day. You got to get them reps down there. No, it's bothering you. I don't think there's anything sinister.
I think in every, like Steven Strasburg, the Nationals are still putting him off until he's really ready. Like, we are an entire career with a franchise can last 8, 10, 12 years. And we're still getting him ready. It's like everything in sports is building to a later time. What about to win today's game?
But I think Alex said that in the interview. He's like, if anything, you can criticize us for bringing our guys up too quick. They brought up Michael without a ton of AA experience.
I'm not saying you are.
What Alex is saying to those who want to criticize what they're doing, they've brought up their guys early, and in some cases given them long-term deals, and they've been criticized for the danger that involves that. This is the other way around. This isn't a top prospect that's behind Orlando. If you said Orlando's going to be the backup, that's fine, and Vaughn's going to start, I'd be fine with it too, but I wouldn't be bullish either way. When we talked about Vaughn all offseason, I said, compare Vaughn to 2017 Dansby, which at the time, do you remember the response around here? Get Dansby out of here. Doesn't hit enough, doesn't field enough. I think he would have gotten that with Vaughn. I still do.
I'm going to wait and see what the reason for Vaughn coming up is, whether it's performance or injury, because if it's not performance or injury and it's just like peeling some days off the calendar, well, okay. So he played 8 games in Gwinnett.
It might be 8 games.
Now he's more ready.
Now, if Arcia gets...
Maybe.
If he stays hot for a month or two, the thing with Orlando is going to happen. The more you play him, the less you're going to like the bat. That's just how that's going to go. And eventually one of the other two guys are up. All right, I had all this stuff on the Hawks that you didn't let me get to.
Oh, get to it.
No, I don't have time.
Get to it.
I had this stuff on the Falcons.
Oh, what's the Falcons?
Don't have time to get to it now.
Just tell me what it was.
Then. Audience, you could blame Chuck.
What was the Falcons
for
thing?
Being Stephen A. argumentative? I had all this Falcon stuff, all this Hawk stuff.
You don't want to go there.
No, I do want to go there, but I'm not going to do it now.
I'm not having it.
It's time to wing it. Presented by WNB Factory. Serving up Atlanta's best wings and burgers with over 60 locations. Find yours at WNBFactory.com.
All right, we'll take your winging it idea answers at the Harrah's. Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Hoyt and I were having a convo about this the other day, and I figured let's make it our wing and an idea question. Something that kids today will never understand or experience themselves. You can tell them, they just won't understand it.
Being 16 And before you get your first date, you have to say words to this girl.
Pick up the phone and call her.
Or at school. You had to say words somehow.
Texting and snapping and doing it that way is so much easier.
My gosh, you have no clue how many times you dial until the last number and then hang that bitch. I'm dumb. I can't dial. And then you're like, be a man, step up. Well, you're 14. You're not a man, but you're trying to call on the phone. Or you do it at school.
That fear of the ninth digit.
Oh. My gosh, you start talking to her and she's like, well, I'm going to lunch. What would we? I don't want to walk to lunch. I want to ask you to the dance on Friday. Now we're going to be in front of everybody.
I will give you three words. A blockbuster night. There was something about a Friday night. Get that Blockbuster card. You can go rent a new movie.
Up and down the aisles.
Oh, it was wonderful. Now it's no fun. You just pick a streaming
microwave
service.
Popcorn and the like the cardboard box of Snickers, like the little Snickers or the
Netflix and chill. Just different now. I'm telling you, Blockbuster night. You'll never know. Brandon Joseph,
looking for a blank CD to either make a new music CD or move a file.
Okay. All right. Show me. Feel like Family Feud. Show me.
You ask one of your kids to burn a CD.
Oh, they would have no idea. Say Napster or something. Right, they wouldn't know. Dan Matthews, something that a kid will never experience and understand.
There's so many, but I'm going to go physical catalogs. Like East Bay, Toys R Us, all of those.
A great when you get a holiday
catalog. Sears Wish Book.
Yeah, you get the holiday catalog. It was a big deal. Wait.
Rolling someone's house.
Can't do it now. There's too many Ring doorbells and people watching. Can't ring the doorbell and run away anymore, whatever you called that game. And you couldn't TP a house now. Can't do it.
What'd you call that, Matt?
A ding-dong ditch.
Yeah, we had a different name.
Did you? Do you want to share with the class what the name was, or you want to just leave it alone?
On the app.
Okay, very good.
Do you want to keep your job?
I like my job, and I will move on from there. You will send your winged idea answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed.
Chuck wasn't there that day.
Coming up in less than 15 minutes, we will talk about the future of Jalen Carter, Aaron Rodgers, and Lamar Jackson, but from the agent perspective.
I'm not agent.
Agent. Hadley Engelhardt, agent of the Stars, joins us. But coming up next, Jalen Carter is still the one. At least according to the mock father. When did he become the mock father? I didn't get the memo on this one, but we'll share the latest next. What do you think?
I'm trying to go through the possibilities. So is it a psychological thing? Is it a motivational thing?
It's either a leg thing, or a spiritual thing, or a psychological thing, or a heart attack.
Who used heart attack?
Not funny. Not funny at all. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
We're contenders now.
Yeah, we are. That is one of the great roles. How that didn't win an award of some kind, beyond me, the great Lou Brown. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. We're on FM 93.7, which is a killer signal. We're on AM because we're making AM cool again. It's the vinyl of radio. It's happening. We're with you till 6 o'clock and then the Front Row's Audio Fun Bag with the up-and-comer, the rising star, the next generation, Dylan Short. Take you through your evening 6 to 8. We will get the agent to the Stars, Hadley Engelhardt, in 5 minutes to talk about the agent's role in trying to get Jalen Carter's stock back up. How does that work? We'll get the updates on Aaron Rodgers' trade negotiations. Lamar Jackson had some stuff to say, so we'll get all that with Hadley coming up. The 3 o'clock hour of the show is brought to you by This Stuff Matters.
Like and subscribe.
Bless you. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast posted at 680 The Fan's website, right under the podcast header or at thisstuffmatters.net. We have talked a lot about Jalen Carter on the show, and we will continue because it's a really fascinating discussion about arguably the most talented player in the upcoming draft who was involved in the middle of a tragic situation that, for his end of it, he got 2 misdemeanor charges. Now we're hearing about all the other stuff, from practice being late to classes to character, all these things. And I continue to tell you guys, I don't believe any of this is really going to affect his stock in the draft because the NFL is just like every other sport since the beginning of time. It's talent over transgression. It's always been that way. Well, Mel Kiper, who is the mock father, Chuck, in case you wonder, he's the mock father.
Okay.
He updated his big board in his mock draft, and he wrote, "The reality of Jalen Carter's situation, his stock has not dropped in the eyes of NFL teams. and I'm not dropping him in my rankings. On the field, he's a fantastic prospect. I moved him to number one in December on my big board. He finished the season playing the best ball of his career. He had 12 quarterback pressures in the final three games for the back-to-back national champs. He was fantastic after he returned in late October from missing two games because of a knee issue. I agree with him. I think the only reason he's going to go fifth is because the quarterback position is a hell of a lot more important than the defensive tackle position. And I think in the top five, we're going to get three or four quarterbacks and Will Anderson. So by process of elimination, I think at number five, Seattle's going to take Jalen Carter. If they don't, maybe it's because they end up taking quarterback. That's all stuff that can move. But Jalen didn't fall. Jalen's not going to fall. Jalen's stock's not going to plummet. There are quarterbacks who will end up going 1, 2, 4, 1, 2, 3, 5, whatever it is, where you get three or four of them and Will Anderson. That's nothing against Jalen's stock dropping. So I'm with Mel 100%. Mel and Matt, same page.
What if it comes down to it, that night it unfolds, however, you know, when he's third or fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh? He could go as late as seven, Jalen Carter could, and it could still just be individual teams
could be
filling out their card.
Yep.
It could be that, like, the Texans really, 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 really wanted him but couldn't do it. There is a chance that this kind of unfolds and everything makes sense. Like, now, by the way, I'm just opinionated. I'm not a quarterback's coach. I don't think Anthony Richardson, like somebody taking him at four, I don't think that makes sense. But taking a quarterback and getting all lathered up, hot and bothered about a quarterback, a hot quarterback prospect who just set Indianapolis on fire, all right, that makes sense. I get a team doing that. So what if all of a sudden he goes at six and we go, yeah, four quarterbacks, mm-hmm. Will Anderson and Skoronski.
Could happen. That, again, that's a preference. That's not a drop, right?
Yeah, you're right.
The way it's being sold is, teams are really, he could plummet. I've seen these dumb mock drafts that have him in the 20s. I mean, people, what are you doing? You're acting like you've never watched sports drafts before, and that super talented guys, once in a blue moon, will drop, but rarely. Rarely.
The same thing there, Matt. What, like, why is it so different if the Buccaneers take him at 25 versus the Seattle Seahawks taking him at 5?
Because the talking
head. We punished him.
Right, the talking head would tell you it's less risk at 25. Well, not to the Bucs. That's their first round pick.
Yes.
So if we're doing it, just again, I'm really bad at the mock, but we know the Panthers are taking a quarterback. We all assume the Texans will, so those are the top two. The Cardinals are the one to watch because they could stay and take Will Anderson. They could move if they get a great offer. The Colts are taking a quarterback at four. Seattle's intriguing because they could take a quarterback if they think, let's say, Anthony Richardson's there and they can park him for a year or two behind Geno. But if the quarterbacks are gone, and I think they might be, I think one, two, Cardinals might move. Colts will take a quarterback. You might have three or four gone. But if Jalen gets by Seattle, I don't know what have to happen to get him by the Lions and or the Raiders to get him date for the Falcons. I would find it shocking, stunning, and something I cannot wrap my head around that he's on the board at 8. It would be almost impossible in my mind.
If you're a ball player, you're a ball player. But I remember somebody telling me that about Ben Gordon. Remember Ben Gordon going to the NBA?
Connecticut shooting guard.
Okay, he wasn't big enough, was he? What was he? A ball player.
He was good.
It's different in the NFL with a quarterback. Bryce Young, I'm out, man.
Really?
And somebody's in it as high as number two, maybe. I think I'm out, man.
Is it the weight or the height?
It is. He is a slight individual.
That I'm concerned with, too.
He's a very slight child.
Can I tell you why I love him, though? And I love the way this has been described by people who watch him. He's the best processor they've seen come into the league in years and years. In other words, he steps on the field day one. He knows exactly where to go with the ball. He can handle the speed of the NFL. He can handle diagnosing defenses. Like, that, to me, is so much more important than the rifle arm. And I'm with you. His slight frame concerns the hell out of me. But, man, I think he steps on the field and he could be a playoff quarterback in year one.
I think somebody could cave in the right side of his body with
that's
it.
That's the Tua thing. But that's the Tua. That's the exact set. It's the fear. But he's going to go in the top two. Yep. Like, that's the thing. And I'm hoping, we'll get into this another time, I'm hoping Carolina doesn't take him. Because I think he can plug and play. And if he gets good protection and can stay
healthy.
You
think Bryce Young can?
Yeah, I think Bryce is going to step on the field and play at a high level. I think it's going to take CJ a minute. I think it's going to take Anthony Richardson a long time. I think it's going to take Levis a long time. So, again, that's a story for another day. But I just wanted to read you guys what Mel had to say about a Jalen Carter and his mind not dropping at all.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat?
I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
All right, let's shift gears. Let me bring in our agent to the stars. He's the great Hadley Engelhardt. Is our production ready? You Hadley at hello? Do we have that, guys? Not yet. All right, the staff has been very busy, Hadley. I apologize for yet again not having your production ready. How are you, sir?
Good, crickets.
I mean, I put a production order in every week, and it's not there, but we'll get to it. I want to ask you about Jalen Carter, Hadley, from an agent's perspective. In my mind, I picture an agent calling teams. Hey, I see what's being written and what's said, but let me tell you about my client. Let's have a conversation about him. Can you do that? Can you try to clean up the messes that are out there publicly? Or are those conversations not being had until the draft?
No, you can have them at all times, but I don't think Jalen's representatives are doing any of those phone calls. I mean, teams are doing their due diligence. They may be calling the agent to get some clarification on stuff, but Jalen's resume as a football player speaks for itself. They'll rely more on guys like Kirby Smart, who've been around Jalen for a number of years, seeing what he's done at the UGA program. These hiccups definitely don't help, but I think overall he's still going to be drafted in the top 5 or 6, 7, and I don't think this is going to have much, if any, bearing on his draft status.
So what is the current status for an elite recruit as far as pro day? Because as what they do in Indianapolis can vary greatly, but it was always, hey, at my pro day, I'm going to do everything. Is there still a need to do that if you're going to be a 2 or a 3 or a 4 overall pick? Are you trying to solidify that? Or are you like, no, that's house money, man. I'm not lifting a finger now.
Well, I think, Chuck, it all depends on what you do at the combine. I mean, if you do not participate in the combine for either injury or just are not ready yet, then you're expected to do most, if not everything, at your pro day. But most guys, if they've done everything at the combine and are happy with their performance, it's more about the interviews. It's more about the position work. Well, the medical's done at the combine. Yeah. But as far as the pro day goes, it's just more about solidifying your position work. It gives position coaches, head coaches, general managers a chance to get up close and personal and watch a workout from only a few yards away. Sometimes they go out to dinner beforehand, have lunch or dinner afterward. So just another follow-up through the interview process. And most of the guys to date, barring injury, do most, if not everything, at the combine.
When I'm talking like guys with injuries, guys who maybe Jackson Smith and Jigba, you miss most or basically all of the season. Is there a different level of workout for that guy at the pro day? Or are we really putting it through the paces since we don't have tape?
No, I think, first of all, there is tape. Obviously, it's not current tape, but there is tape. It's more, you know, first of all, again, the medical is probably the most important thing. Everyone will tell you, by the way, with relating to the combine, the two most important things with the combine are the medical and the interview process. All the other stuff that we have sensationalized on TV is more for the media. I mean, how fast you run a 40 is great for discussions and shows like this, but at the end of the day, it's how fast do you really play? And I think one of you just talked about, I think it was you, Chuck, an athlete's an athlete. A player is a player. And regardless of how tall or how fast you are, if you put up numbers on a consistent level, play at a high level, that's what dictates success at the NFL or any sport for that matter. And we get caught up too much on the measurables, and the media does, in fact. So, you know, when you're missing time, you know, you go through the workout. And remember now, the pro day is just one of the workouts. Afterward, teams can come back and do individual workouts. Teams could bring you in what they call a 30 visit. They're allowed 30 players to come up to the facility, not work out, but talk to, do board work, and it gives a team a chance to really get to know the what's between the ears, so to speak, with a player.
Our agent to the stars, Hadley Engelhardt, with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Let me ask you one more thing about the agent's role in a draft situation. I want to talk to you about Lamar and a couple of things. In Jalen's case, or any player you've repped, if you don't like the narrative out there with the media, how much talk would an agent have with an Adam Schefter through text or with a Peter King or somebody to try to turn some of the narrative around?
All the time. Those guys are on speed dial sometimes more than a general manager. But again, it's the narrative that the media is portraying. You know, the more important narrative is what are general managers saying privately. And if you get a sense there's an issue and you need to take a public statement, you do so. But in Jalen's case, I think it'd be a lose-lose for his representatives to try to defend what's already out there. Jalen's work speaks for itself. And again, if you talk to the people at UGA, they will tell you what kind of work ethic he has, what kind of winner he is, how he as a player stepped up the last quarter of the season to really help Georgia get to that next level. And so I really think it's just nice to talk about. At the end of the day, he's a football player who does his job, for the most part, has stayed out of trouble. And there are guys with a lot worse out there that have been drafted very high in the draft.
Let me ask you about the latest on Lamar Jackson. A source told Mike Florio Lamar is, quote, ready to move on from the Ravens. Another source told him that Lamar does not want a fully guaranteed contract. So what's your guess on where that source is and where that came from? And could we see movement after the draft? In other words, somebody at that point says, yeah, I'm willing to give up two picks, but I didn't want to give up one in this draft. Does that timeline make sense?
I mean, anything could happen. I get a sense if he's going to move on, it's going to happen before the draft because the Ravens will know, you know, what picks those actually are, what number it is this year. These sources obviously are either directly from Lamar or I've read, I'm sure you guys have read, that he had a non-licensed agent reach out to teams, which is strictly prohibited by the NFL and the NFLPA. And in fact, the NFL teams could lose draft choices if, in fact, they're having dialogue with an unlicensed representative. You know, I just think Lamar, again, we talked about it last week or probably the week before, Lamar not having an agent, which also includes what we just talked about with Jalen, which goes to the PR part of it, working for him, I think is doing him a disservice. And I think, you know, the fact that he said he doesn't want a fully guaranteed contract, yes, he does. We all do. And, you know, there's many ways to skin the cat. Granted, you can do a multi-year deal, you know, a 5 or 6 or 7 year deal, and only the first 5 years are fully guaranteed when really, in theory, the last 2 years become void. So, you know, if I'm representing Lamar or any quality agents representing Lamar, our job is to get the highest signing bonus, the highest guaranteed money, period, especially in the first, you know, 2, 3, 4 years.
All right. I'm not putting this on Ezekiel Elliott. I'm just going to plug him into an example that he's not part of. Okay. I'm filling in a blank here. I saw that he is projected. He might get like a 1 year, $5 million deal. If an agent with Ezekiel, like he works for Ezekiel and he says, hell no, I'm 3-30 and it's all guaranteed. Like if you're listening to an agent say that and you know, no, you're 1-5, do you work for the agent and go, I mean, do you work for the player and go, okay, I'll try to get you 3-30? Or do you have the conversation like that's fiction, it ain't happening, either find another agent? I'm like, how does that go when somebody still thinks he's 3-30 and he's 1-5?
Listen, those are, Chuck, those are the toughest conversations to have with any player. You know, the hardest one is to let the player know at the end of his career that there's not interest out there and it's maybe time to, you know, think about the next career. With regard to Ezekiel, you know, it's an agent at all times, including myself, is constantly talking to teams, gauging the market. So you have an idea of what's out there. So you can advise your clients in any business to what to expect out there. And, you know, some of the unfortunates of our business are when you're advising clients based upon your research and you say, hey, it's a looks like we're gonna have to do a 1 year deal for X dollars, other agents are chirping in his ear saying differently. And so it creates even a bigger disconnect. And so the reality of it is, in Ezekiel's case, you know, he's got to look at not only the best opportunity, but also what's important to him. Does he want to, you know, play for a winner? Does he care what team he's playing for? Are there certain coaches he wants to play for? But at the end of the day, you know, the market will dictate his value. An agent does not dictate that. The teams dictate the value. It's the agent's job to make sure we secure the best deal based upon those market conditions.
Hadley, finally, what do you think, given I'm going to use the word hold up, maybe there's not a hold up, maybe it's just supposed to go at this pace. What's going on with the Aaron Rodgers trade that hasn't had it consummated at this point with the Jets?
Yeah, I think it's ongoing dialogue, you know, with the Packers, and it appears that the Jets are the suitor out there, and I think it would benefit both parties to get the deal done before the draft next month. But, you know, I think there's this ongoing dialogue. And again, we talked about this last week. I think Aaron Rodgers publicly saying that he wants to go to New York doesn't really help the situation out. And I think, you know, Aaron sometimes, you know, speaks what he feels, but it's not always the best business decision to do that. So I think the deal is going to get done. I think both parties acknowledge that. I don't think anyone has additional leverage. You see that the Jets are stockpiling in receivers and trying to do right and put the best arsenal around whoever the quarterback's going to be. And I think they're banking on that eventually, you know, as we get closer to the draft, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Hadley, it's always great information. Next week, the production will be done or the segment is free.
Done.
Love it. Thank you, my friend.
Like a plan.
There he is, Hadley Engelhart, agent of the stars. You, Hadley, and hello. Always great information from Hadley. Coming up next, Trey and Luca have something else in common this morning.
They're both white.
No.
I don't see color.
Good. You shouldn't. They have something else in common this morning.
They were at the show with prostitutes.
Which show?
Weekend at Bernie's 2.
I don't believe that's the case. No, they have something else in common.
They went to Los Angeles and recruited active gang members.
That's it. It's exactly. I have no need to do the segment now.
Join the Mavs. What are your colors? Blue and silver, dude. What?
I'll tell you this. It's not a good thing. We'll talk about it next. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Wednesday right here. We'll take you up till 6 o'clock. Chuck, time is running out to get registered to putt for the Porsche. I don't want you to miss it. Your next to last chance to sign up is with Nick and Chris. Thursday, March the 23rd.
Is that tonight or is that on Thursday?
It's tomorrow.
Chuck just didn't listen.
That's okay.
Chuck, he just sits here and just starts talking.
That's okay, too. From 11 to 2, you can see them at the PGA Tour Superstore in Sugarloaf there in Lawrenceville. Stop by for your chance to sign up at Sink a Putt for the 2023 Porsche Macan. From Hennessy Porsche North Atlanta.
Porsche.
One finalist is guaranteed to win a Breitling Avenger automatic stainless steel. Beautiful watch from Brown & Company Jewelers. And all 16 grand prize qualifiers will receive a Mizuno M-Craft putter valued at over $300 plus a PGA Tour Superstore gift card. Putt for a Porsche is brought to you by PGA Tour Superstore, Hennessy Porsche North Atlanta, Brown & Company Jewelers, and Mizuno. Check out the rules and info at 680thefan.com. So you had three guesses on what Trae Young and Luka Doncic have in common this morning.
Did not have those three guesses. No.
I heard you make three, man. Maybe that wasn't you. Okay. We know since the day those two were traded, it has been just one of the more annoying stories comparing the two. We all agree Luka's the better player. I don't think anybody would have that debate. But I got to a point probably a year or two ago when we realized just how good both guys were, that they were just stat stuffers. Trae's averaged 25-9 in his career, been to a conference final. He's now on his third head coach, so compare that to Luka, who's averaging 27 in his career, 8 assists. He's been to one conference finals.
Ran off Rick Carlisle, didn't he?
He's on his second coach in Jason Kidd. I'm going to go on a limb and say Jason will be let go.
Oh, Jason don't give a damn.
He'll be let go at season's end, so Luka will also be on his third coach, I believe, starting next season. So there are a lot of parallels between Trae and Luka. But here's what they have in common again this morning that neither one wants. You know, both teams are 36-36. At some point, the league turns off even the most talented players. And we all know how damn good Luka is. And we know how fun Trae is. But the league moves on to those who are around championships. The league pays attention to the teams at the top. And what you become is what Bill Simmons would poke fun at Trae Young. Don't tell me about the numbers. Well, Luka and Trae have that in common. Both have wonderful numbers. And since Kyrie Irving joined the Mavericks, which nobody in their right mind thought was going to work, the Mavs have gone 7-10. Now, Luka's also missed time, but Luka always misses time. Luka hasn't played more than 67 games in a season since, I think, his rookie year.
Huh.
So that may be just bad luck, or there's...
It's a letdown.
It is. It's funny that, you know, Trae's missed time too, but he's been more durable than Luka, which is just weird considering their bodies. But I've said what is going to be true about Luka is going to be said the same about Trae. And it's a race now to see which one asks out first. Because they both know we can put up numbers, but at some point, everybody around the league turns that off. And for Trae, they've already turned it off. Didn't make the All-Star team. He's got people around the league who just don't like his style. That's the next part of what Luka is going to be. Luka, empty numbers.
People who don't like Trey's face.
A lot of that stuff.
Absolutely.
But Luka's going to be next on that. Oh, God, he puts up numbers. But, oh, look, they're sixth again in the Western Conference, and they're not competing for a championship. One or both, and I think both will ask out from their teams because that's just the way of the NBA today. It's a shame because both teams are having impossible times figuring out what to build around them. And, folks, let's be clear. Neither guy is the problem on their team. Like, to have Trey as your best player creates challenges. And we said that the day they drafted and traded. It creates challenges to have a 6-foot-nothing point guard as your best player. You have to thread the needle with great defensive players. You need to have enough shooting. You need to have all these things really good around Trey. In Luka's case, they've been trying to find Robin to his Batman for years. Mm-hmm. They tried Porzingis. Those two hated each other. Now they tried Kyrie, which was just laughable. But I told you the day they made the deal, Mark Cuban can look at Luka and go, see, I tried. I gave you a perennial all-star. I tried. It's not going to work. We all knew it wasn't going to work, but they can say, Luka, don't get frustrated. We're going to try something else after this. They're going to be told this, and eventually, another year or two, whatever the time, the whispers will start, the whispers will get louder, and one or both will ask out of their current situations. It's not an if, it's a win. It's the way of the NBA.
If Kyrie is healthy and motivated and
playing. Doesn't matter.
No. They have two top 10 players. That's supposed to be better than.
Okay, but there's two ends of the floor.
I know.
They play no defense, and in the playoffs, that'll kill you. It doesn't matter how good offensively he is.
Remember the Pelicans had Anthony Davis and Boogie?
Sure.
They were bounced right out.
Chuck, and I didn't mean to trample over you. Kyrie's a wonderful offensive player. He's one of the more gifted players ever. When you don't play defense at all, we see this here.
I know. I'm saying you got two top 10 players. You got to equal more than this.
It should, but to have Kyrie, and don't get me on a Kyrie rant. We know Kyrie's never been a winning player. Kyrie needed LeBron. Kyrie by himself was never anything. This is why Kyrie's on his 15th organization. It'll keep going. That's not the point of this. The point of this is both teams are failing their best player. And it's not easy when you have a ball dominant guy because nobody likes playing with that to watch it for so long without getting the ball. So it's not as easy to fill the position around them. Don't you think in theory guys would be like lining up to want to play with Luka Doncic? Tell me what you
mean. It makes sense because you got a big who can do everything, including pass. But now he's not going to get you involved, but he can really, really pass the ball, and it sounds great.
Right. He'll get you the assist, and you'll get the buckets, but ball dominant means you're going to watch. It's like watching Harden to some degree, dribble, pound it out, take a shot.
What an amazing passer he is, I got reminded this year.
Great.
He's decided, all right, I'm going to do some of that.
It's the same thing, though. So their teams are having the damnedest time filling around them the right spots. Yep. 36-36 in this league is forgettable. Both teams would be much better off being 18-54 because then there's an avenue to get better. At 36-36, cash strapped, up against the cap, not really avenues. It stinks. And as the Hawk fan who thought there was an avenue 2 years ago to this team getting better, whoops, was I fooled.
And there's no little bit in now. Your number one player is a $40 million guy in a lot of cases. So
both these teams, same thing.
It paralyzes everything you do. So you have to get that right, and it has to cohese and all of that.
And it's not working either.
You're not in a little bit.
Nope, you're all in. All right, coming up next, Chuck says, as much as we all love A-Train, he has a feeling that Alex sits by himself at lunch.
Oh, like Lowe's growing up. Wow. Loser.
Los isn't here to defend himself, but Los would sit down there in the lunchroom on the right.
Far right.
Far right down there, all the way down the right. No, not like Los. But Chuck said Alex sits by himself at lunch, but some specific lunches. He'll explain next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.